This is the Life Truth Network.
Quest for our Truth, Episode 466.
Healthly Podcast Network.
HPN, in conjunction with Protectors of the Book, presents
Quest for Truth.
Now located at life-truth.com.
Seeking the truth about God, faith, and the Bible.
Life Truth, comparing worldviews in a casual setting, digging deep into the Bible and its challenges.
Here are your podcast host deputies, Keith Heltzley and Nathan Caldwell.
Welcome, everybody. This is your host, Keith, and it is time once again for Quest for Truth. And this will be not a solo episode. We do have Nathan Caldwell, who will be joining us in a little bit as we get into the body of the episode. And I wanted to look at a little bit in Galatians, beginning of the second chapter. Kind of looked at some other stuff in Galatians a little while back in chapter one. I thought we'd push on into the second chapter as Paul develops his argument, his words, his letter, the writings to the Galatian people. And actually, early Christian blasphemy slash heresy, depends how you want to look at that, the early church was facing. And anyway, we'll get into the details of that later. Well, and by the way, I don't think I mentioned it during the body of the podcast, but I will be reading from the New American Standard Bible, the NASB. Just want to mention that up front in case you were wondering, and to give credit where credit's due. But hey, I seem to be winning in the quest for microphone. I actually don't have to rely on my old headset or my old microphone. I actually found the problem that was plagging me, and it is flat out had to buy a new headset because the old one just apparently died, because things do that. So anyway, things should be back on a better quality sound issue as we're going to present things from here on out. But anyway, let's get rolling into this right after a few short words there from the good folks at the Christian Podcast Community, ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. There's, of course, plenty of good theological teaching, good sound, Reformed, mostly Reformed, I guess. There's a variety of denominations represented under that umbrella. And anyway, listen to a few people who you'll hear when you tune in. The community, they'll sound like this.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you with us. I am your squirrel, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Squirrel Chatter is a podcast that is dedicated primarily to the public reading of Scripture. Please remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. Do everything you do for the glory of the Lord. And we'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.
Can you prove that God is a Trinity? Can you prove that Jesus is God? Can you defend the Christian faith? And what is it that Christians truly believe? The new book by Andrew Rappaport, What Do We Believe, will answer those questions and more. Some people just don't understand what the church is today, but this book will go through the history and meaning of the church and what's more important than to understand man's sinfulness and God's salvation. Get your copy at whatdowebelievebook.com or at the strivingforeternity.org store.
Thank you. Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here with Street Talk Theology, where we take theology and we bring it to the streets. How's everybody doing this morning? Nice morning here in Arizona. Well, keep us in prayer. I'll keep you guys in prayer. This is Pastor Dominic Grimaldi, Street Talk Theology. We take theology and we bring it to the streets. God bless God.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.
Main topic.
We're going to have a look at Galatians 2, the first 10 verses here. There's a name for this. We find it. The first council, Paul's relation to the other apostles. And this is, by and large, it's called the Council of Jerusalem. And it has two parts. This first part, Let me back up and give a little bit of background here. And that would be that in the previous chapter, Paul had greeted the Galatians very briefly and tersely. Then he got right into you foolish Galatians, who has deceived you or bewitched you? And he says, if any gospel, if anyone bring a different gospel, may he be accursed. And then he begins to talk about his authority as an apostle. And here he develops that some more. Previously, he said he spent something like 3 years on his own, kind of isolated, studying the word and arriving at his own conclusions. And he went to probably around Antioch, probably around where the Galatians were at, and spent time with his ministry there. And here we find out it was some 14 years later, which let's go ahead and start reading here. In the interval of 14 years, they went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. It was because of the revelation that I went up, and I submitted to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but I did so in private to those who are of reputation, for fear that I might be running or have been running in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. But we did not yield in subjection to them for an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. But from those who are of high reputation, what they were makes no difference to me. God chose no partiality. For he who had effectually worked for Peter and his apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectually for me to the Gentiles. In recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They only asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was also eager to do. And that's the verses we'll be looking at today. And I want to break this down a little bit. Again, this is about Paul's authority, and it's also talks about his unity. He was not at odds with the other pillars of society, as it were, in the main Jerusalem church. He wanted to be unified.
Okay, some quick remarks on Galatians 2, verses 1 through 10. It looks like you got two groups of people. You got the Jews who were circumcised, the Gentiles who were not. Okay? But you also have this problem. There were those of the Jews who were claiming that you had to be circumcised to be saved. And that was not the case, obviously, just like baptism. You don't have to be baptized to be saved, but it's a sign of obedience regarding your salvation, and it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and that you're siding with him.
Let's look here at the council at Jerusalem, this first five verses. We'll get back on those here. In this council, after an interval of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me also. Oops, I think I read that wrong. Taking Titus along also. It was because of revelation I went up, and I submitted to them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but I did so in private to those who were of reputation for fear that I might be running or had run in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty in which we have in Christ Jesus in order to bring us to bondage. But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. Now, in verse 1, he mentions Barnabas. Barnabas had been a longtime companion of Paul. He was the first one to stand up for Paul to witness that he had been transformed. He was also with Paul on his missionary journeys. Titus was a spiritual child of Paul and a co-worker. And as an uncircumcised Gentile, he would have been fitting proof of the effectiveness of Paul's ministry. And what I think there's a commentator, the commentator who mentions that, well, in Luke, he didn't mention Titus. And you know, honestly, if you consider this, you know, Paul, he's been at this for some 17 years, you know, 3 years prior to 14 years, to this time span here, he's going to meet with the pillars of the church. And Barnabas is, you know, somebody, an elder who vouches for Paul. And so Titus, he might not have been entirely mentioned. He might have been a hanger-on. He seems to be very much of a younger guy. He's probably, if anything, a student still of Paul and Barnabas, doing a lot of learning. He probably would have been fairly insignificant to these, you know, pillars of the Jerusalem church. But he is included here because, you know, he was beginning to play an important part. And he goes on to say, by revelation, and this is verse 2. Now, this revelation, of course, would have been by the Holy Spirit. And Paul invokes the Holy Spirit to make sure that that's the reason why he's coming. He's not being summoned. He's not being called on the carpet. He's not being forced to go to comply. He's been doing this for the past 14 years. He's been out there preaching the gospel to the Gentiles around the Antioch area all this time. And what he wants to do here is he is being led by the Holy Spirit to go to talk with the elders at the church. And why? Well, there's something of a controversy that's been arising, which is part of the whole reason behind the writing here to the Galatians. And we'll get to more of that in just a moment, but let's look at some other key points here. It says, those who were of reputation, this is also in verse 2, and he mentions the three main leaders of the Jerusalem church, Peter, James, and John, or Peter being Cephas. And this phrase of reputation, it usually means people in authority, people, a place of honor. You might, again, you might say a pillar of the church, a pillar of society. So he's going to see these authorities of the church because he's being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, it could also maybe be a bit of sarcasm directed at the Judaizers who like to claim that they are apostles, but not. There's a phrase here also, might run into vain, in verse 2, that Paul hoped that he would get the support of these authorities. He didn't want to see his ministry efforts wasted because of conflict with these other, air quote, apostles. And he didn't, you know, he'd been working there for the last, 14 years, and he didn't want to see it that undone, his hard work there. It says, there's a phrase here in verse 3, compelled to be circumcised. Now, this is at the core of what's happening here. This teaching of circumcision, and the controversy was that you had to be circumcised as part of your salvation.
So it's definitely good to do. But circumcision was of the Jews, not the Gentiles. And the Jews, there were Jews that were going, hey, you know, you got to be part of us. If you want, you know, if you want Christ, then you got to take us too. And you got to be circumcised. And folks, that was just not true. Circumcision is not required. And Paul said as much.
No. It's easy for us to... today, because we don't really count circumcision for all that much, we say, what's the big deal? But think of maybe more modern controversy among churches today is, do we speak in tongues today, as the Pentecostals do, or do we not, as most other denominations don't? Which is it? Are they? Is this some controversy? Is it heresy? Well, you do say, well, go to Scripture and look at it. Say, it. Yeah, the tongues is mentioned, but it's not mentioned the way you're doing it. Well, you have to put yourself on the time frame here. At this time, Christians were considered a Jewish sect, and so what would you do if there's a controversy? You would whip out the Torah, the Old Testament scriptures, and say, well, look, of course, Moses circumcised. If you're going to be a good Jew, you're going to have to be circumcised. And now you have this Christian sect, who, especially the Greek people out there in Antioch, saying, no, wait a minute, we don't do that. We don't do that here at our church. Apparently, word of that, after 14-some years, it's starting to ease back in and spread around, ease back into the main church in Jerusalem, and people are saying, is this a blasphemy? We got to investigate this. So you can see where this historical controversy is coming from, is they are doing their best to make sense of it based on the Old Testament teaching. But Paul is saying, this we don't have to do that here anymore. The false brethren is another phrase. It refers to these Judaizers. They are pretending to be true believers. I lost my train of thought there. The false brethren, it's actually the false pseudo brethren, Adelphoi. It's a word, it's a military word for spies, for somebody who, you know, sneaks around and lurks around. But they pretend to be true Christians, but what they really were is traditional Jews who were just trying to get in there to have an aha moment. See, there, we got you. It was opposed to Christianity, and the reason why, it's like, look, these Greek people, they're coming in here with their own little philosophies, their own little traditions, and they're trying to tear apart what we good Jews, us good stout, stalwart Jews believe. And you know, I can see their point. But you have to also consider, are you going to obey the law and all the parts of the law, which only leads to death, it does not lead to salvation, or are you going to believe the gospel that does lead to salvation? And Christ never commanded to be circumcised. And there's a phrase to spy out, of course, in verse 4. And again, that plays into the false brothers. They were undercover agents, and they were trying to sabotage the gospel. It's all about their liberty. Christians are liberty from the law as a way of living. We're free from the curse of the law. We are free not to have a license to sin, but we're free to live in Christ. Now, there's a little bit more I want to get to here. Bondage. It also conveys the idea of, you know, absolute slavery to works. And people who followed righteousness seem to be of a kind of a different cloth.
And he said, you know, these people wanted to take away our liberty. And the impression I get is they were trying to force circumcision out of the claim that it was required for the salvation. And Paul, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but he says that we didn't give an inch. We didn't give a bit. We didn't give in. We stood firm, you know, in the fact that, no, you do not have to be circumcised to be saved.
Now, let me take a pause there before I go on to the rest of this. And I can't remember where I heard it from. It may not have been somebody on the CPC, but it might have been. But if you are a person who wants to become a Jew, you have to fully commit to all of the 600 or 900 laws, whatever there are throughout the Old Testament. You just can't tippy toe into it and pick and choose. You have to fully commit to all of it. But if to live in a Jewish community, they don't require that you follow all the stuff that they do. In fact, they would prefer that you didn't. But they do prefer that you do, you know, at least conduct yourself in an ethical manner. And just some basic tenets, you know, follow the Ten Commandments, you know, that would be all they would require, that you do that if you're going to be an outsider. And I think this is where Paul is getting to in his first five verses, this is where this whole controversy is coming from. To the Jews, it would be blasphemy to not be circumcised. But Paul is saying, no, look, we have this salvation. Christ has paid for our sins. We are free from the sins. We're free from the curse of sin. It doesn't mean we won't sin, but we should be able to live at liberty, knowing that whatever shortcomings we have already been paid. So there's a thought.
If you look at the subject of Galatians, he talks about how there's another gospel that has crept in to the Galatians, the church of Galatia. And he's having to catch this, and he's having to put a stop to this real quick. And he says, you know, though I or an angel from heaven bring another gospel, whoever it is, if anybody brings another gospel than what you've already heard of me, let him be accursed. And he said it twice. Because when you add something, be it baptism or salvation or anything else, when you add something to repentance and faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, if you add something to it, then suddenly you're believing in works for salvation, and it doesn't get you anywhere at all. Jesus either does it all, or you do. Oh, and by the way, you can't, so that puts you in a bad spot.
Before we continue on, talking about Paul and the pillar of apostles, as the rest of this council of Jerusalem, starting at verse 6 here, but from those who are of high reputation, what they were makes no difference to me. God chose no partiality. Well, those who are of reputation contributed nothing to me. But on the contrary, seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, for he who had effectually worked for Peter in his apostleship to the circumcised effectually worked for me also to the Gentiles. Recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James, Cephas, and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, so that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They only asked us to remember the poor, the very thing which I was eager to do. Now, just some personal favoritism happening here in verse 6. The unique privileges of the 12 did not make their apostleship any more than what Paul had. Paul never saw himself as apostolically inferior. He held to the fact that he had encountered Christ just as much as any of the apostles did. And that must have been some impactful meeting he had on the road to Damascus. But certainly Paul definitely was counted among the apostles. Now, this, for the uncircumcised in verse 7, that it seemed like there's some really difficult translation things happening in this group. I can't remember if this is the verse or not, but it says, better translated to the uncircumcised. Paul preached primarily to the Gentiles, also to Jews in the Gentile lands. He made it a pattern to go to the synagogue first. And, of course, there were Jews in Gentile lands. They were called the diaspora. He would go to those dispersed Jews, and he would start there. And those who would accept his teachings, and that's great. And if they didn't, he would preach to the Gentiles, because he wasn't trying to make proselytes and evangelize the Gentiles to become Jews. He wanted the Gentiles, with wherever they were in their society and religious or culture, to also have Christ. Peter had been to the circumcised, there's a phrase there in verse 7. Now, Peter is to signify that his primary mission was to the Jews, and likewise, Paul's was to the Gentiles. And there's a phrase here, of course, he who worked effectively in Peter, effectively in me. Of course, he's referring to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works effectively. And the Holy Spirit who empowered both of these ministries, empowered the ministry that stayed amongst the Jews, and empowered the ministries that shared Christ with the rest of the world. The pillars, of course, in verse 9, emphasizes the role of Peter, James, and John in establishing the church. There's the phrase, the right hand of fellowship. It says, in the Near East, this represents a solemn vow of friendship, partnership. It signified the apostles recognizing Paul as a true partner in ministry. And I don't know if I heard it so much in churches today, but I know growing up, that was always a big thing, is you offer the right hand of fellowship to your brothers and sisters as you greeted them. But I don't know we use that phraseology a lot anymore, but I know we certainly used to. But there's that. He concludes by just saying to remember the poor. And this is of course, an age-old thing, goes back to Isaiah, even beyond probably, where it says the true worship is to take care of the orphans and widows. In other words, those who can't help themselves. And so what they're trying to say is, remember the true worship. Don't make it all about you. Make it all about serving those who can't serve themselves. And of course, Paul's on board with that. And so the key thing here is that whatever your lifestyle looks like, whether you're a Jew full of the trapping and the ceremony and the circumstance that they do, or whether you are a Gentile that doesn't practice anything close to what Jews practice, we can be bound together in a bond of fellowship, brotherly fellowship, by the doctrines of Christ, and not circumcision. It's the doctrines of Christ that is that bond that branches out away from Judaism and reaches into the Gentile community. And so these are some very important things. I mean, one important thing here that they achieved at this early council. And again, Paul went because the Holy Spirit led him. It was revealed to him. And he went there because there were false brothers. There were spies that got involved trying to entrap them. No, y'all need to get back to our Jewish ways. And again, I get that, because at this time, Christians were still a Jewish sect. They were still Jews. They still went to temple on the Sabbath. They still worshiped, and they still had services in the synagogue. They did all the activities all the other Jews would do, but they were also Christians. But at a place like Antioch and Galatia, where Gentiles were more prevalent, the Gentiles were getting into the church, and rather than forcing them into the old customs, this is a way to liberate them and also include them. I do have one more passage here. I don't want to really provide any comment. I just want to have Philippians 3:1-14 read, and let it speak for itself here. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing again is no trouble to me and is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. For although I myself have confidence, even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is of faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may obtain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay a hold, for that I may lay a hold on which I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I hope I didn't mess it up too badly. All right. But this, that in itself, this is again Paul, and you can see he's putting it in a different way. That it's all about, you know, he may have been a Jew, he may have still have Jewish ways, but it's all about Christ. It's all about what Christ is making us into. And it's not what we do in the flesh or in the working of law. It's who we are through our faith. That, wow, is all I have. So hopefully that will have meant something to you. As we just kind of drilled down into that little passage there.
You are listening to the Patriot Pastors Podcast, where we talk about today's issues from a pastor's perspective, as well as calling America back to the faith of our fathers.
Without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure. We ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Here's your host, Wade Lentz and Harold Smith.
Thank you for joining us on the Patriot Pastor Podcast today. I'm your co-host, Harold Smith. We have a real treat today.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
How is your flame of truth, Christian? Is it burning bright? Hi, I'm Rebecca Bershwinger, creator and host of One Little Candle, a weekly podcast dedicated to encouraging, empowering, and equipping believers to be the light that God has called us to be, so that we may pass down undefiled the truth of God's infallible word to the next generation. So join me and light your own little corner of the world. You can listen to One Little Candle on all major podcast platforms or at ChristianPodcastCommunity.org.
Now featured on the Christian Podcast Community, ChristianPodcastCommunity.org.
Welcome to the Doctrine Matters Podcast, where we seek to equip the church to understand and live out its faith. I'm your host, Stephen Dew. I'm the preaching pastor at South Caraway Baptist Church in Jonesboro, Arkansas. We want to thank you for joining us today, and let's get right to today's episode.
Soli Deo Gloria.
All right. Well, there is the presentation. And, you know, as I was putting this together, it reminded me of my recent early church history episodes that I've been putting out there, because of course this goes hand in hand with some of that time frame, the early history as the gospel began to spread. And one of the early things is that the Christian church was persecuted, or the Christians who were part of the ecclesia were persecuted by the Jews and the Jewish Christians who were who felt that some of these teachings were blasphemous. And it was the early Jewish people who first persecuted the Christians and caused the Greeks to scatter back into their diaspora where they had been. Now later, within the next century, there would be outside persecution that would fall both on the Jewish believers as well as the Greek believers. But here's the early, bit of a doctrine that had to be ironed out is, as Christians, as believers in Christ, and now that we have this weird thing with Gentiles joining us, what's our balance here? And, Paul of anybody, he was probably more educated than the original disciples were on matters like this. And if Paul was willing to say, "Hey, there's this new religion, sect is spreading. It's not just for us Jews; it's for everybody." Well, how do you integrate that? And I think Paul is in this little section, this tiny little bit. He has been doing the right thing, and he has been shining the light on this new Christian growth and saying, we're not trying to pollute the Jewish ways. If you're Jewish, be Jewish. If you want to be in the temple, be in the temple. But it's okay for those who are not Jewish to also enter and be part of the gospel, be part of that new salvation that's happening. Well, anyway, there's a few epilogue thoughts I had on that. So, hey, don't have much more else to say. Hey, once again, thanks for the folks there at the Christian Podcast Community for allowing us to be part there. And we have been for, I guess, a few years now. And we look forward to all the newcomers, those who want to join. All you got to do is apply. And it doesn't mean to get through. You got to pass the test with Andrew and other folks who are oversee that process. But once you're in, you'll be in with a good family of like-minded, like theology-minded believers. So with that, this is your host, Keith Singh. Thanks for listening. Signing off here. Hey, tell a friend about us. That really is how we grow our listenership the most. When you tell other people how to find us and how to put us into their podcatcher. Or you know what? Just visit our webpage and you can listen to any of our shows right from the website. There's a player on every page. Leave us a comment while you're there. From there, you can leave us an email. However you want to contact us, there's even voicemail. And, you know, here comes Anthony Russo, the voice of the podcast, and he will tell you all about how to contact us and find us out there on the interwebs. So here we go. Take it away, Anthony. And once again, this is your host, Keith. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Visit life-truth.com, where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifetruthpage. Follow us on Twitter at HNCAST. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music in the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.